and break the whites into a little entering bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rock and radio redhead is at my side again, Emily King.
Present.
Yay! How are you?
I'm great.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's actually literally cool. I feel like I'm having the opposite of a hot flash in here.
You're right next to that.
I think I feel like all underpants. We're at the Artisan Food Guild Market on 7th Street in Sheridan. And they have some really interesting local products that they sell and market. And so we're going to talk to them in the fourth segment about what they have here, which is going to be really, actually very, very fun. So anyway, that's me.
How was your Mother's Day?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even prompt you for that.
El Dia de Madre.
El Dia de Madre. It was great. It was almost like a whole, it was a Mother's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So prom, Sammy's prom, her senior prom.
She looked beautiful.
Wasn't she gorgeous? Yes. I know.
She's so grown up.
I'm kind of particular. I know. And so I hired Chad Ulam. Chad Ulam, U-L-A-M, as a professional photographer to do it. Mm-hmm. He did her senior pictures, and he also does stuff for me with Trillium. Okay. And just a great guy, and the kids were so thrilled. So he took 70-something plus pictures and then put them all in sepia as well.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to post those out there. So that
they
was very cool.
They looked so beautiful. She looked gorgeous. Her dress was great. You did a good job, Mom.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we found that she put that dress on at Macy's, and she's like, I'm not going to like this. And it was the first one she tried on, and we walked away and bought it.
Done.
Like $80. I know. It was a pretty good deal.
Excellent.
So we didn't get rained on because we were a little nervous about that over there in Glendale. Yeah. And sun came out. It was gorgeous. I'm like, hey, am I done here? And Sammy's like, yep. So I got in my car and drove to Flagstaff.
Awesome. What'd you do up there?
It's on my shirt.
The Verde Valley Wine Festival.
I went to the first annual Verde Valley Wine Festival in Clarkdale.
Cool.
Have you ever been there?
I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I've lived here this long, and I've never gone and visited these little Mayberry towns up north.
Well, I've driven past it. That's that really intense, steep climb, right?
Yeah.
Or no. No, it's no. You're going down.
You're going down, but if you look across the valley, mm-hmm. there's Jerome up on the hill.
Okay.
And I was actually asking him, I'm like, what is that little enclave up there? And he goes, there's a big J on the hill, Heidi. I think it's probably Jerome. No, it's not. But right next door to Clarkdale is Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, let's pop in and just grab something, a bite to eat before we head over there because we were early. So we're walking around this little town. None of the restaurants are open. It's like 11:30 or whatever. And the only thing that was open was Sam Pillsbury's wine tasting room.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. Hey, this works for me. Went in and did a flight of whites. They had this really interesting
grape. Did you eat anything before at all?
Did they give you
some crackers?
Well, no, I had a bagel sandwich for breakfast, if you can imagine. I actually ate breakfast.
Wow.
I know.
That's
good
really new and different for you.
I know. And so they had this really interesting grape. It's called a symphony grape, mm-hmm. and it's a hybrid, and it's Moscato and Grenache.
Interesting.
And when they blended it with a little bit of Viognier, it was good. But when it was standing on its own, it was like, whoa, sweet.
Oh,
I
really?
Needed like a really, really ripe mango. It was like, whoa, completely overpowering. But the Verde Valley Wine Festival was a huge success. And it was their first year. And they had all
these... How many vineyards participated?
There were probably like 15. I mean, Sam Pillsbury was there. Dos Cabezas Wine Works, Bodega Pierce, Burning Tree... 4-8 Wine Works, Grand Canyon Wine, and amazing food from this little, small area. There wasn't anything from the valley.
That's what I was going to ask. If
it was fantastic. It was really good. This one group did this ceviche.
Ooh.
You know, and we're sitting there like going, oh, you know, we'll just buy general admission tickets at Pillsbury. And he's like, nah, go big or go home. So he bought the VIP, and we had a little tent, and what was his name? Maynard, the lead singer from, what is it, Tool?
Okay.
Tool was there in his funky little suit for
That's
Clarkdale.
Neat.
But the crowd was so eclectic. You had farmers with cowboy hats. You had farmers with big belt buckles. You had total hippies. It was just absolutely, it was fascinating. We were there for like 4.5 hours.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a fun weekend.
It was great. And I got home. And so anyway, I wanted to shout out to David Baird, who is the event organizer for this, because I met him behind the bathrooms having a cigarette. You always meet the most interesting people smoking, right? And he's the head taster at 48 Wines in Clarkdale. And he says, this will be the worst one ever, I promise. And it was so successful.
Wow, very modest.
He did a really great guy. It really, really did a really
like those humble
great
people.
Job. I know, me too. So Sunday morning, Sammy gave me a card and 2 bars of chocolate and some flowers.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah. And then she says, hey, Mom, can we just roast a chicken and make some tater tots and some asparagus and eat with our hands and watch The Mummy?
I was going to ask if you stood at the counter. That's kind of like our thing, I guess.
Oh, that's right.
We just all get down on some meat at the counter.
It was great. Got wet towels for our hands and just went basic
perfect.
Carnivore.
I also watched The Mummy.
Why?
The movie. It was on Netflix.
That's where we got it, too.
And it was hilarious. We were texting about it last night.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, I watched that as well.
I had a couple mimosas. Isn't Mummy British for mom?
Yeah. There are British people in there.
That's mm-hmm. Actually, I love those movies. It's kind of odd.
Me too.
But, Brendan
like,
Fraser,
terrible,
please.
Lots of plot holes. I was like, wait, why?
Doesn't
why
make
is there
sense.
A curse? Why would you curse a tomb?
I don't
like,
get this.
Yeah.
You know what else I watched this weekend? Point Break. The new one?
Oh,
talk about
I see
ridiculous.
That.
Oh,
really?
It's just so dumb. It's
was
like,
it
there's
bad?
No way you could live through. Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, it was still good, but it was bad. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those action, you know, packed kind of a things. But yeah, it was really, we had a great night. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yes, we're very close. What did you do
Excellent.
This weekend?
I always work my Saturday job.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Meet lots
job
of interesting
of all
characters.
Jobs.
And then I, after that, went out for, I found this really cool little divey sushi place in
divey
Gilbert.
Sushi should kinda. Not be two words that
you know
really go
you know
together,
you take
Emily.
Your risks in life. This is one that I take.
They don't do that blue poisonous fish, do they?
No.
Okay,
no, it's just kind of everything's a little sticky. It's very warm, everything comes to you on a warm plate, but it's very affordable. The sake bombs are like, we walked out $35, 2 people. We ordered a bunch of rolls of sushi, sake bombs. It was great. It's called The Orient, and it's in
the
Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lots of things coming up in Gilbert.
Good stuff.
And sake, then, what's a sake? Is it beer and sake, a sake
oh,
bomb?
Yeah.
Oh,
uh-huh.
I can't remember.
I finally recovered.
I too many of those.
I finally recovered from my night out with the girls by
Wait,
Saturday.
That was a week
and
ago,
then started dude. Over. I was dehydrated the whole week. It was
Who
bad news.
You?
I'm too old for that. So then, let's see. I met my nephew on Sunday,
oh, that's
and
nice.
He was adorable and a very smiley, chill baby. I'm like, how do you make one like this? Because I don't want the other kind. Just this kind is good.
It's a roll of the dice, girlfriend.
Right. You just dropped that
Sammy
one.
Sammy was not a smiley, happy baby. No, she was colicky. It was a hoot. And I'm like, I'm going back to work early.
I don't think
you
I,
take her.
I know, I was going to say, I don't think I'm ready for motherhood because I just dropped that off at the park. And just
Jeez,
keep going.
Okay, well, should we move on or did you have something else you wanted to share
nope,
with us?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, cool. So we are here at the Artisan Food Guild and we are being joined by Chef Frank Caputo and Luis Chaban. And they're going to tell us all about what they do. We're going to focus a little bit on culinary education. We're going to talk about CCAP and everything that's food and fun. And we're also going to have the ladies from AFG come on in the fourth segment and tell us about the history of this joint, what they do, why they do it, and tell us all about these little snacks we get. You know the one thing that's weird? I think this is the first time in the history of Into the Soup that we don't actually have a cocktail during the show.
I was thinking about bringing a flask.
I know.
For
I was for me.
I was like, wait a second.
Wait, we got to do this. I think it'll be fun nonetheless. I've got my flask in my car for the way home. So anyway, this is Heidi Lee. You're
Keeping
Into the
it
Soup,
real.
93.9. Don't touch that dial. For suburban, I'm above be happy. Sending signals is a dirty trick. Get my love and attention so packaged. Trip, switch. Drift, switch. What we do when the power's up? What do we do when the lights go down? What we do when the power's up? What do we do when the lights go down? Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee, and I'm here with Emily King.
Hello.
Yay. All right. We are at the Artisan Food Guild on 7th Street and Sheridan. And joining us today is Chef Frank Caputo. Hi, Frank.
Hi there.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I noticed that your shirt matches your Harley.
It does.
Do you wear that all the time when
the
you
same,
ride?
Do I, you're talking, if I coordinate?
Yeah.
No.
You don't go animal with your bike? I didn't know that you were a biker, but when you walked in and you had the shoes and then all your keys on a couple of chains tucked in your back pocket, I'm like, Harley guy.
Tough guy.
And then we're also joined by Louis Chaban. Hello.
Hello.
Get your voice down there.
Hello.
There you go. No playing with your phone. Hello, Arizona. And Louis is a rep or regional rep or what, King God of ChefWorks.
That is correct.
Lots of people know you. Because I did my due diligence.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but really it's more important. And I think what this whole conversation about is, how do we as a culinary community come together and support high school students so that they can further their education to become the ultimate professionals in the kitchens all across the world?
Yes, and that's what we do as well here at Into the Soup, supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. So speaking of stalking, you don't have much of a social media presence, Frank. I totally went looking for you, and I'm like...
Well, there are actually is.
There is?
I have some stuff on Vimeo, on the Food Network. I just did four spots on the Food Network.
Oh, cool.
AZ Central, the magazine. So I've been around... quite a bit.
I guess I'm not very good at stalking.
He just doesn't stoop
That's
to that
probably
Facebook
a good
level.
Thing.
What did you do on the Food Network?
I worked with Ellie. She does their healthy cooking
segments. Oh, yeah, I know where she is.
And we toured the farm at Hope Springs Organic Farm that I was a significant part of building.
And where is this?
It's in Goodyear, Arizona. It's 69-acre certified organic farm.
Beautiful.
There are so many of those cropping up. I love it.
Yeah, it was kind of a dream that I had.
It was a dream that I had.
And I just needed a backer. And I was working with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and I was able to talk them into joining forces with a local organic farmer. That way we can provide, you know, healthy products to our patients and whoever we fed. And the best thing about it is that we are picking it at optimum optimum time. So the nutrition.
Harvest. Yeah, that's very great. And it's interesting that you said you had a dream and you just had a backer. And so let's go ahead and talk about CCAP really quick and programs for culinary arts for kids, because they need backers too. And it's not just from a monetary standpoint. It's just from understanding that it's out there and realizing that a lot of people can't live their dream of going to culinary school if they don't have these kinds of programs. And so, go ahead, Louis. I know this is very near and dear to you.
I'm chomping at the bit. It's really, you know, I look at all these boosters that, you know, with all these college teams and that, and I actually consider myself an educational booster. So it's more or less just, once again, getting the whole culinary community involved, whether you own a restaurant, whether you're a chef, whether you're a general manager, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student. It's just to make everyone aware that there is this organization, CCAP, that is out there. And the benefits are is if you're really talented and dedicated and put in the time, you have the opportunity to win a full ride to a culinary school like the Culinary Institute of America.
Which is where Frank went.
That's where Frank went. Johnson & Wales, ACI. You know, there's various levels, part scholarships, but it's just a tremendous organization. And one of the, you know, the biggest thing I think today is not to be loaded with student debt. And this organization, CCAP, helps a lot of the kids. And it's really amazing to see these diamonds in the rough. Well, some of them I haven't seen when they were diamonds in the rough. I actually see them as diamonds, like Brian Archibald of the Boulders and Jared of Clever Koi. And it's just, I mean, I never was part of the program, but I just get so much enjoyment, and it's just incredible what the organization does.
And so just so people, if you don't know, CCAP stands for Careers Through Culinary Arts Program, and it's in the high schools, and it's juniors and seniors. And the high school teachers, they are required to have a culinary program. And the high school teachers work with the children. We work with the teachers. I am now part of CCAP, and I'm very proud to be, to train these kids to compete. And whether or not they compete and win, it doesn't matter. It might. You know, I really need that scholarship. But what it does is gives you an edge and a leg up in the industry if you've got those basic skills coming out of high school. So you've been involved with CCAP for a while too, right, Frank?
Yeah, I've been involved for 4 years. And I've been cooking now for about 30 years, and technically even longer than that. But professionally,
well, weren't you bartending at like 14 at the Family Inn in Pennsylvania?
Yes, yeah, I was.
That's when you didn't get in trouble for the health guys by that one.
Yeah, we can't do that now. But it's food. The food industry is about giving back. That's why we're a chef. We cook because we want to please you.
Yeah,
and you please everybody with this creation that we come up with, and. For me, I took a little bit more of a classical approach to it. I spent 15 years working for one certified master chef. Now, I've worked for a number of chefs, but he was the one that I worked with predominantly. And that's where
You graduated from CIA.
After I graduated from the CIA.
And who was that?
His name was, we called him Jack Shoup, but his name was John Michael Shoup. And he recently, 6 years ago, had passed away from cancer. So
okay.
He's no longer with us.
But you were with him for 15 years.
Yes, 15 years. I opened up about 23 operations with him.
Wow.
From Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Voorhees, New Jersey, Naples, Florida.
So do you consider him your mentor?
Oh, absolutely.
So
without
a doubt. You know, that's another thing that when I first got involved in this industry, because I've been cooking professionally and whatever for 20 plus years, and I did the line and all that kind of stuff in restaurants across the United States, but it was for a paycheck, really, back then. And I didn't understand it. And now I do. I'm getting a greater understanding. But when I first started with the ACF, I'm like, why aren't we doing apprenticeships? These things, they're so important. And now CCAP is doing those. They're calling them industry scholarships, where they're going to be under the wing of four local chefs here in the Valley. And I think that's just a great thing to do.
Right. Well, and that's what CCAP's about. Now, To bring it full circle, we have the kids that are coming that are going to be our workforce later on. You know, once they
we grow. Hope
exactly, and that's what Louis and I do. We're there to be with these kids at the very beginning and create these relationships. We never know where we're going to end up, but why not invest this time and this effort to where we live now, and that's Phoenix.
Right.
So we get to learn the names of these kids. We're judging them. We're doing these events with them. So it's just an unbelievable feel-good
give back. Yep.
And I've cooked for everybody from presidents of the United States to foreign diplomats and dignitaries to well-known sports and movie actors and singers.
Okay.
So I've done that all. And it wasn't until I really started working for Cancer Treatment Centers of America that I actually was humbled and was able to really provide something of substance. We can all go through life doing what we want to do, but until you really do it for somebody else, that's when it really, really means something.
Right.
And that's what CCAP's about.
Go ahead, Louis. I know you're sitting there going, I want to talk.
You know, I think it's also our purpose in life to leave something behind, to make the world a better place, and I think CCAP comes into this. I think if you really want to get an idea about CCAP, there's a documentary on Netflix. It's called Pressure Cook, and it's about this teacher in Philly, how every year she competes. And the other thing is, the way that I see it, is that the students that come out of the program of CCAP or are involved have the ability to step in the kitchen with the basic knife skills and skills and then be mentored by the chef in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, I think it's hugely important. And I like I said, it's this, and what surprises me, CCAP's been around for 25 years.
Right.
And they're only in 7 cities across the United States. That blows my mind. Arizona is the only statewide program that they have in the nation.
Right. And with you have to also think about the home base is in New York City, and they actually have Marcus Samuelson as the chef for CCAP.
He's kind of got the guy on the end of the bowsprit of the boat.
Yes. He is mainstream chef. He's, you know, works the Harlem. He's works the depressed areas. And it's really what CCAP's about. It's offering opportunities for kids to choose a profession that, because of their circumstances, they might not be able to afford to go to school.
Right.
So technically, that's what it's really about. And some of the best cooks come from that type of an environment where it's, you know, there's a hardship all the time.
Right.
I've also seen the work ethic of these kids, because being involved and being on social media, I make an effort to follow those kids once I find out about them, and you just see some of them. It's just incredible. I mean, I got to mention Bo McMillan puts a lot of CCAP students in his kitchen, and that is one of the top kitchens in town. Excuse me if I'm leaving other people out, but really the other thing that CCAP, the advisory committee, is looking for mentors and to place these students, there is a shortage in the valley. And I'm going to say even Tucson, because I don't want to leave out Tucson. Tucson also competes, and kids from Flagstaff. It's actually all over the state. And there are shortages of people in the kitchen, and CCAP has these kids that are ready and willing and able to help. And it's just, you will see. I have been around to kitchens, and I've spoken to chefs, and they tell me, wow, those kids are really dedicated, educated, and professional, you know, compared to some of the other staff there. And of course, I have to give a shout out to Mr. Richard Grassman, Mr. G, who is the founder and is an incredible role model. He keeps up with all the kids all over the country. Richard started it, about 25 years ago?
Yeah, 25 years, yeah.
And it's just incredible, the dynamo. And then, of course, Susan Robbins, who's taken over. And I just see CCAP growing from strength to strength.
Well, and here in Arizona, it's gotten huge. And many thanks to Jill Smith for that.
Absolutely.
There was a great director before. And sometimes, I mean, she just wanted to retire. And you needed a new infusion, new blood, new eyes. And Jill is a very good friend of mine. We've been close for, 7 or 8 years since I moved back here.
Now,
go ahead.
I just wanted to interject here. For some of us who aren't familiar with CCAP as much as you are, because you're all involved with it constantly, how do kids get involved in it in
the
first place?
Their school has to be involved in it.
Okay, and what is there a list somewhere for people who are listening who might want to, who have kids who might want to get involved in it? Is there a list, or is it, how does it work?
Well, what it is the school actually, you have to have a culinary program within the school.
Okay.
And you have these district people, the CTEs, what is it, guys? CTE, teacher educator.
Career technical educator.
Thank you.
Career technical educator.
Career technical educator. And that could be for lots of vocations. But you have to have a culinary program. There is a cost associated with CCAP. Mm-hmm. So for a year, it's between $1,300 and $1,500. But that's a one-time fee. There's nothing else involved. And the kids don't have to participate. They don't, if they're in the culinary class at their school, they don't have to participate in CCAP if they don't want to. It's strongly urged. And what a message we want to tell all these educators out there is that you don't often have someone that is a culinary educator that has any culinary background whatsoever. So you might have a science teacher, well, that doesn't work, or math, well, that doesn't really work, English maybe, that walks in and just says, I'm going to take over this program because they don't have people available. So we want to tell them, we'll teach you. If you don't know knife skills, we will come in and show you how to do this. You know, it's not rocket science. And we can help you help these kids. Go ahead, Louis.
Didn't last year, I think the teachers went to Johnson and Wales. There was a conference last year where they took the teachers to Johnson and Wales and spent quite a few days with CCAP and the Johnson and Wales. And what I've heard, it was a really incredible, insightful, knowledgeable conference.
But if you think about it, you know, when you put on a chef coat and you walk in a room, you can eat. We do it all the time. See?
Everyone's like, I love
it. Doesn't matter. We burp and all sorts of stuff on a show. Yummy salsas. But when you wear a chef coat, so many people are intimidated. Oh, wow, you're a chef. And it's like, yeah, really? Okay, whatever. But it's like, you know, high blood pressure when you walk into the doctor's office because you see the white coat thing. But that's not what we want these teachers to understand. Because, you know, we're doing this for the kids, and you don't have to be intimidated or scared by these techniques or skills, because we're going to walk you through it all the way.
Yeah, they're certainly scared at times.
terrified.
They are so, they have a thirst for knowledge. Remember, they're still in high school, and they're so naive about really what's
everything.
Yeah. So when they see something, when it's cooking, they get absorbed into it. And that's what's really fun about this, because I actually stopped promoting people to get into cooking, because I was constantly being let down by people that I felt comfortable that they would make it. So it's been a while, until 4 years ago. And then I just happened to meet Jill at the time, and I went in wholeheartedly and have been involved ever since. And
we appreciate it. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. It's just a lot of fun. It's such a good feeling all the time.
And the kids realize, too, with people like Louie and people like you, that when you're around them, you're not there to beat them up with a frying pan and yell at them and tell them to do something. You're there to support them and teach and guide. And that's really what it's all about.
They're learning successes and failures, too.
Gee, in life? Wow, imagine that.
Do you want to tell a bit more about the competition?
Well, we've got like a minute left, so we can just like bounce around and then we'll come back to it,
too.
Okay, we'll
tell a bit more because it's actually on a level playing field that everyone makes exactly the same. It's a crepe, a salad, and...
The
chicken with
Sasher.
Chicken
just. I'm not good with the terminology, but they have to make those little potatoes. What do you call
the
that?
Tournée potatoes.
I hate that.
It's a level playing field that comes down to your actual skills and passion.
Right. And us professionals that are involved, we get to judge them, and we judge them on their how they handle themselves on their cooking station, how well they know where their mise en place is, and what that final plate tastes like.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? There's nothing better than at 8 o'clock in the morning to taste 40 different omelets.
How about 140 omelets?
Oh, scary.
And you get them all overcooked and undercooked.
Well, real quick, if an educator or a school wanted to get involved, they would just go to CCAP, call Jill.
CCAP Arizona, excellent. You know, Jill, jsmith at ccapinc.org. And you can always
reach out.
Oh, let's do this. You can also reach out to me at intothesoup.com. Okay, so whenever we do Into the Soup, you have to sing the .com. Are you ready? You got to do it or else I'll make fun of you. Then I'll really stalk you and you won't like it because I have a lot of different things on social media. Okay, ready? IntoTheSoup.com. Perfect.
Oh, that was so happy.
All right. That was so happy. we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. Woohoo! This is fun.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all serious.
I like it.
It's good. It's educational. That's what we use, right? Educate, entertain, engage.
Something new and different for us.
I know, right? And we're not drinking. It's unusual. Our Soup of the Week is brought to you by Grey Tie Events. Culinary entertainment exclusively for women, prepared by men.
Wow.
You want to play with that, don't you?
I like the eyebrows that just go up whenever you do that.
I know.
I'm a virgin.
That tagline.
Whenever I used to do that and network in front of women's groups, you'd hear this look like they'd put their hands over their mouths. It's like, okay, chew on that for a minute. It really is a very respectful and chivalrous thing. And what we do is I have a team of chefs that work for me. They all had to audition. They got $50 in 90 minutes. And they had to bring it, whatever they had. And so this isn't just standing in the back of a kitchen. You have to be able to multitask and talk and be funny and flatter and pull out, you know, chairs for ladies, pour their wine. Great menus for their tastes. You invite all your girlfriends over, sit around the island. Two of our chefs come in. They prepare dinner for you. And you can stay there. You can move into the dining room. We clean everything up, mop the floors, take out the garbage with a smile.
How do you get involved with that?
You want to buy one for somebody or you want to chef for me?
I can chef with me. Absolutely.
Okay,
love
cool.
To.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. So it's Grey Tie Events with an E. No male chefs were hurt in the making of this commercial. No client fraternization is allowed.
Thank you.
There's no Velcro or boom boxes involved. Okay, so the soup is direct from the kitchen of Chef Frank Caputo, and it is a Tuscan kale and bean soup. So we're going healthy.
Yeah.
Let's stay there. What's in it and how do you make it? Don't tell us all the ingredients.
Well, it's really simple. And I like to make soups that from vegetables that are obviously they're growing, you know, the time.
They're growing.
You know, those
exactly.
live vegetables.
I mean, but this could be made. If you don't have the availability to get fresh vegetables, certainly you have the freezer.
Right.
So it's really up to you. So we have onions and garlic and green beans.
Sautéed so that smells the kitchen.
Exactly. And
stuff.
One little trick when you're making a soup, it's just not throw everything in the soup and then turn the fire on.
Right.
What we'd like to do is we'd like to develop the flavor.
We build the flavor.
Yes. So you always want to start off with your onions and your garlic. And if you'd like to add bacon or ham.
Or pancetta. You want,
or pancetta.
There's the Italian. Finally, pancetta.
Yep.
Just talk to me like that.
Pork products.
Do you miss those Italian delis from back east?
I do.
I lived in Long Beach, New York, so.
That was home.
Yep.
What do you think is the closest thing to an Italian deli out here?
Wow.
Is anything?
Lou, do you have anything? There's one.
I discovered Romanelli's.
Isn't there also one? Yeah, Romanelli's.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. 35th and Dunlap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so what else is in your soup? Do you use vegetables or chicken? Do you?
Well, if I'm gonna have a lot of vegetables around, I'm gonna usually make a vegetable stock.
Okay.
I don't throw anything in the trash.
Good for you.
I usually keep those trims. I keep those peels. I put them in the pot while I'm cooking. So as you prepare your vegetables, you peel your potatoes, you peel your carrots, your celery. I like to use every part of the celery, and I like to use every part of the leek as well.
I love leeks.
The granite, the leek. On the green end, it needs to be handled a little bit differently than the white end, but it's still a good use for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll take those trims and we'll put it in a pot and we'll turn it on with some cold water, and we'll usually bring it up to a simmer and let it simmer for about 25 minutes to 45 minutes, and then that's it.
Nice.
Strain it, and it's good to go.
You know what's funny is people think that... you know, saving all your trimmings and all from all your stuff is something new. And it's like, that's what grandma did. This is depression cooking.
Yes.
You didn't throw anything away. And it's just, you know, not that I'm not guilty of that at times, but.
Don't you pay good money for it?
I do. I do. And so, I mean, I've got my big old stock pot. I made demi this weekend.
Wow. I saw
sweet.
That.
I know,
in
right?
Fact, there's there's a big movement now in the kitchen to use every bit of waste in food to come. To
okay, we're gonna slap Louie here pretty soon. Did you not take the online course before
to
you
be
came
creative.
On the show?
I think I'm close enough. Yeah.
He's like running past the microphone.
I was like, "Hi, my name is."
I actually need a mask, not a mic.
We need to get him one of those headsets.
Yeah.
With it right by
like
his mouth.
Like he's in a call center. He can just walk all over the place. Go get some coffee.
I'll be a sports announcer. But coming back to, there's a movement to use everything in the kitchen or to be creative. One of the chefs that is worthwhile following and who's very influential in our industry is Dan Barber. And he opened up a pop-up kitchen in New York. Using, I don't even know what and what he made, but he's not the only one, and it seems to be a trend is let's not waste the food and let's, you know, use everything that we got because we have so many people on this planet and we don't have enough food and we are blessed in this country. Maybe I'm getting a little bit political.
You are just a little bit.
But just let's,
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
But just let's not waste.
I wish
they
would do
it. I appreciate that.
I wish they would do it in culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being in the profession and having gone to culinary school 20 years after I've been in the profession, to see the amount of waste that comes out of those kitchens, I expected it.
I think the
you've got these kids and they're like, how come you're throwing away all this food?
Yeah.
I think the word is sustainability. It's coming in and it's creeping in slowly but surely. And
it's getting better. It's getting better, and you've got, you know, local people that, you know, compost for you in your own house.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you, I mean, it's Recycle City.
I had that conversation.
Great example.
Yeah, exactly. That was a great show.
Yeah, it was.
Check it out on intothesoup.com. I actually had that same conversation with my brother. He's like, what's kind of the hardest thing about being in the restaurant industry? And I was like, watching the waste, actually. And watching, you know, food come
Emily's
back.
Opened a restaurant down in Tucson, and it's just.
And you're just like, oh, my God, we just paid for that.
So if we start with these
ends,
kids,
though,
yeah. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. And if we start with these kids young and early and drill it into their head, it's like, don't throw that away. You know, we'll use it somewhere.
And one thing that I was able to do with the kids was I was able to bring them into a real live kitchen. And they got to see what this profession is about.
Was this at Cancer Treatment Centers?
Okay. Right. And in addition
to that.
You
must have had a killer kitchen
it
there,
was,
man.
Yeah. It was such a treat to be able to show off and show these kids.
Because none of us have egos in the culinary world.
No. But, you know, you got to have something to shoot for, right?
Sure.
And you want to shoot for the top. You want to be the best you can be. And so, and that's what's good about soups is that They could be so good just from leftovers.
Yes. Yeah, I do leftover soup all the time. Generally, well, I have a daughter who's graduated from high school, but when she was in middle school and then through her high school, anything I had left in the kitchen on Sunday went into soup.
Yeah.
And I'd put it in a Ziploc bag and I'd stick it in the freezer, pull it out the night before, she'd heat it up, take it to school, she had lunch. And it probably cost about 50 cents, if
Easy.
That.
Easy.
If that. So let's go to culinary school again, and this is just kind of funny because I want to take us on a tangent. All right, so you went to the CIA,
right?
Culinary Institute of America. Mm-hmm. They were founded in 1946.
Right.
The Central Intelligence Agency, which also has the same acronym, was founded in 1947. So is there not some sort of trademark thing? Think about it. And so I Googled it, and the first thing that popped up was the executive chef for the CIA graduated from the CIA.
No way.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It's very incestuous in a good way.
Good incestuous. Mm.
But that's awesome. It was created for veterans from World War II. It's an old monastery, and it's if you
the
go
CIA?
There,
Jesuit it, monastery.
It's, really?
It's incredible.
Oh, educate me. I don't know anything about it. That's
sits
so cool.
Sits on the banks of the Hudson River in Poughkeepsie.
Next to FDR, right?
Yep. And Poughkeepsie is such a beautiful little town in Hyde Park. Used to take the train to New York City or take the train to Syracuse. I had family everywhere and just had a lot of fun. It was such an incredible area. A lot of mansions, the Mills Mansions, Rockefeller's had a mansion up there.
So it was created for veterans to come back after home of World War II. Right.
Through that, wasn't it the American Culinary Federation? Right. There's a big connection between the ACF.
Because they were founded in 1929, I think, the ACF.
But it was to give people vocational skills to, what's the easiest
come
thing.
Come back to the community.
Yeah.
Cook. Yeah. Well, and then there, again, repeating, there's that seamless transition between military and culinary.
And certainly, and that area predominantly has a European ethnicity, deep.
Okay.
More German, that part of Europe. They just seem to conglomerate there. And if you look into cooking, the history dates way, way back from that area in being able to manufacture food from scratch.
Okay. So wow, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. You learned something every day. See, there's the educate part of it.
Yeah. when I was there, it was really wasn't as renovated as it is today. They were just building the nutritional wing, St. Andrews, at that time. But if you go there today, it's heavily bankrolled by serious corporations.
Yeah.
So you said that you went, you graduated in 1986.
89.
We're both 63 babies. So what was it like going to culinary school with, weren't there a bunch of youngsters there? His eyes just got really big. He's like,
It was horrible.
I was the only one that could drink.
But it was great.
Yeah.
I didn't want to certainly show my age. And it was really easy not to because everybody was so young. Moms and dads were just giving their money away to go to the CIA. And that time, at that time, it was over $40,000.
That's a lot of money in 1989.
Fast forward today, and you're talking about $120,000.
Right, right. So I think the history or the what's the word that I'm looking for? The projection, if you will, for lack of a better word, for culinary schools is in a very, very big stage of change.
Yeah, but how do you relate to that once you graduate to making $10 an hour?
I know. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the change has to come from. And I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well,
I have to be very careful not to step on
toes. Can I interject? Arizona is looking through the state to start an apprenticeship program in conjunction with some of the resorts here. And I think that will bring, some stability into the industry because you'll really have to be serious about it. And I think if you look at some of the local schools and maybe the community colleges, because the biggest thing is to not be saddled with debt. And I'm going to come back to whether it's CCAP or ProStart or Skills USA or the various programs. Look for money. There's money out there. Because the more money you find, the less you're going to have to pay back. And, a lot of the people that have gone to culinary schools, unfortunately, not even culinary schools, education in this country, and I'm getting, I'm touching a raw nerve here, is that you're paying a lot of money. You got to look at your return on investment.
And so, that's what blows my mind. It's like you bring these kids in, and it's like, listen, this is what you're going to make. Unless you are dumber than a stump, you're not going to walk out of here making $40,000 a year. Not even close.
No.
And you're going to work really, really hard.
Really hard and take a lot of
bumps.
The ACF, American Culinary Federation. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's at one time, it was the workforce for cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seemed to get away from it. And I'm working with Chef Carlton Brooks at the ACF. Trying to build this certification program back up. And this is one of the things that we're going to work with CCAP to try to get these kids involved in an organization like the ACF where it's going to support you through your profession and also be able to provide you with some documented skills. And
walking in with a certificate.
Exactly.
Look what I got.
It's transferable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you think about all of us are relatively come from the same decade.
Me too.
Except for this one.
Yep. Liquor's again.
I can't remember what decade that is.
I just drink gallons of coconut oil. Just gallons.
You were able to make it through the School of Hard Knocks
right.
And make it to the chef level or the corporate chef level. But today, it's so hard to get there. But if you have these transferable skills like you talked about, Louis, then...
Anywhere in the world. You can go anywhere.
Right.
You can...
Exactly.
You can. And I mean, I've said this before. I went to culinary school for the simple joy of it and to hone my craft. I've been a chef, you know, what is it? I'm a cook for 20-plus years, off and on. And you don't have to do it. I'm self-taught, but I did it as a profession. So... But if someone would have come to me and taught me knife skills when I first started, it would have changed my life. So I was just winging it. When I went to culinary school, my chef walks up to me in basics and goes,
and you
how long
have
you been holding
fingers.
Your knife like that? I'm like, 25 years. And he's, Jason.
Coming back to the ACF, there's certification too, but also the networking that you do there is incredible. Just seeing what's going on in the industry. If you're looking for a job, there are people in the know. And, you know, it's just... It's something that's been there for a long time and shouldn't be forgotten and taken for granted because a lot of the people that are in the ACF are the educators or your teachers.
They are. That's the majority of them.
And it's incredible to see these people that have a passion. And, I think of Glenn Humphreys, the late Glenn Humphreys.
Oh,
and
hey, Glenn.
How he impacted this town. I didn't know him personally, but I look all the time and, you know, I see people saying, wow, you know.
He was a hell of a guy.
He was.
He
rode
a Harley too, by the way.
Huh?
He rode a Harley too, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
What did he say about salt? He always said, like, watch the salt and...
Oh, salt. Yeah, fattest flavor. And what did he say about salt?
I can't remember.
Sorry, dude.
Okay,
I should remember.
You out there who were taught by Glenn, Chef Glenn.
Salt is your friend. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, salt is your friend. And always carry a teaspoon, right?
Something like that, yeah. He was larger than life in more ways than one. He was a good friend of mine, and he played on the soup with us a lot. So, so lots of things about culinary education. I think one of the reasons that I'm in it is because you see the light in these kids' eyes when they succeed, and you understand when they fail, and you've got to help them, you know, and lift them back up and let them understand that they have to do it for themselves, too. It's like, go cry in the walk-in. And that's what's going to happen when you enter this industry. It's like, you're not going to get babied. It's just not going to happen. So it's, you know, it's two parts compassion and two parts leadership, you know, and accountability. And, you know, they talk about a lot. I hear chefs all the time, I can't find good help in the valley. And I think that's not because they're not educated, but because they don't know what to expect.
We
that
have
to be taught.
Build this, though.
Yeah.
We have to build this. And that's what CCAP is about. It's building that connection with these young kids who are going to, like I said before, who are going to be a part of our mainstream
workforce
society. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is so everlasting.
Yeah.
Hey, kitchens all over the valley and the state. We have kids that are willing, ready, and able with their sleeves rolled up. They have the basic skills. And
right.
I know this for a fact from hearing from chefs that have had these kids in their kitchen that you got to be serious to compete. It's not, hey, I want to compete. These kids are practicing two or three times a week.
Right.
And they got to show the passion, the love, the dedication, the discipline.
But they got to show up.
One thing I really want to emphasize on this is that these kids, they're young kids, okay? And you can't take them and treat them like you would treat an adult that's coming to work for you. So the mentorship is really, really important that you take that approach with them. And they really need to be taken by the hand and shown what to do. And you need to follow up with them and handle them with, I hate to say kids' gloves, but...
No, I think care. No, you care. Handle them with care. With care and compassion. So do we need to take
mentor
a break?
Mentor them.
Yeah, okay.
Mentor.
We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with the ladies from the Artisan Food Guild. And the boys will still be on here with us, and we can say goodbye to them before we go. So this is Heidi Lee. Ooh, this is so much fun. I love my job. 93.9 KWSS. But some kind of madness is swallowing me whole. Yeah, I have finally seen the light. This is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup. I can't believe how fast these shows go. It's just amazing to me, and I love it when we have guests that are educated, passionate, well-informed, and want to share it with you. We usually do, so that's not dissing anybody else, but this is just one of those that's been like, wow, nice little eye-opener. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10. Shift 10% of your spending to a locally-owned business and support our community and our economy. Our weekly Wet Your Whistle is going to be reiterated by Louis Chaban. Louis?
Okay, so I was asked a question. What cocktail do I make? Actually, I don't make cocktails. As you can see, I eat out a lot. I love to cook. In fact, I cooked for the governor of New York, but that's
cocktail.
Something. Cocktail. So I'm going to do a shout out to the Sanctuary at the Jade Bar and Chef Bo, who introduced me to this drink. It's called the Subtle Introduction.
Sounds like me.
It's fruit-infused mezcal with peach and lemon and ice, and it is delicious. Very fresh, soft, and subtle, as it says.
Very cool. I will play with that and get the recipe at intothesoup.com. There, look, the girls have only been here for 30 seconds, and they jump right on board. Okay, so Artisan Food Guild, thank you very much for hosting us today.
You're welcome. Anytime.
This is Mariah Gallegos.
Right.
And I asked her your last name, Tracy, and she goes, I don't know, it's a really long one.
It's Tracy Hill Vandergriff.
Hill Vandergriff?
Hill
That's
Vandergriff.
Not that hard.
Speak for yourself. And
okay,
thank you,
thanks.
Ladies, for having us on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So who wants to give me a little bit of history about, I'm going to say AFG because it just works a lot easier. My whole life
start.
Is abbreviations.
Well, we originally started as a meetup group online.
Yeah.
So we just, you know, wanted to get food, local foodies together.
Okay, so we meaning producers of products.
Yeah, well,
okay.
We being the founder of the Artisan Food Guild pretty
okay.
much. And then we started this meetup group, and we found that a lot of people joining were food entrepreneurs.
Great.
And they had their products in farmers markets and local events, and they didn't have any retail experience, so we opened up the community market to give them some retail space so that their customers didn't have to wait a week to pick up their product.
Okay, and is this the location that you've had? And didn't you guys say you've been here for a year?
Yep, just last month we celebrated our one-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
And it was a big hit. We had a little bit of a celebration two Fridays ago, I believe.
29th.
Yep. And it's been going really well. We have about 25 vendors. We're going to be opening up a new location.
You have 25 vendors?
Mm-hmm.
Who made the chocolate?
The chocolate was made by Chocolatl, Jason Wasser Confections.
Okay.
Amazing chocolates, as beautiful as they are delicious.
Yeah, they
Absolute
are very
treat.
Pretty. And then you've got these salsas.
Yeah, that's made by Iram Carrasco. He his product is called Mamacellos. It was a recipe brought from his grandmother.
Oh, neat.
From Chihuahua. And so he has four different flavors currently of his salsas. They're amazing. Actually, he has five. He just came out with a strawberry
watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. And so you guys, well, let's switch to Tracy. You guys are now going to be opening a market cafe over off of Dunlap and 23rd Avenue, correct?
Yes. And Frank You've been kind of involved in that as well. I don't have a lot of the details on that. I'm over here at 7th Street mostly, but I've been over to the location a few times, and it's coming along. I'm working personally on getting more of the artists involved and getting more artwork.
So these paintings of all of these people up on the walls, those are our
food crafters, yes.
These are your food crafters?
Those are the food crafters. We had those commissioned. And but I'm trying to get more art in the 7th Street location and the Dunlap location because we actually have a community room and we're wanting to involve more of the arts into the process.
Okay. And that's where actually space was donated to CCAP. So CCAP now has a space there, and we have we're going to have a full-blown skills kitchen for the kids and computer labs so that they can study their soft skills. And so it's, I mean, the benefits to these students and their teachers is just going to be
enormous.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have the incubator, and then we'll have the community room over on our side. There's quite a few spaces over there.
Yeah. Yes, there are. There are.
Jason Wasser actually has his chocolate factory in our location as well.
Is that him up there with the big smile? Okay.
That is him.
All right.
We do.
Yes, we can. He asked if you had a calendar.
Yeah, we have one for each and every one of you guys.
Oh, that's nice. Do you?
And we turned the art. Yeah, Roy turned the art into an actual calendar, and we have them for sale here. So each person is featured on 1 month with their bio.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's a quality, nice, thick calendar.
I have seen those before. They're really nice. I'll put it in my office, actually.
Wonderful. Thank you.
At the CCAP offices. So you're going to be part of that. Before I forget, let's talk about the May 17th Craft Beer Festival, which you guys are hosting and sponsoring, which is benefiting CCAP. So I know that we're having a beer pairing, and I know I got your menu, and so it looks really yummy. And it's, you're doing charred octopus and a duck spring roll. Is it going to be an Asian-flavored duck? What are you going to do with it? Yeah, okay. I like plum sauce. And a brisket slider.
Right.
And bratwurst.
Right.
Okay, so those tickets are available. You can go to
intothesoup.com.
Yes. Okay, everybody did that time. And tickets are $35 per person, and they're $60 for a couple.
Correct.
And it's Tuesday, May 17th, and it starts at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's at the corner of 23rd and Dunlap, and the address and everything is on intothesoup.com. Okay, I know you're getting tired of that. So so how does this benefit the community? Do people have to pay to be part of this organization, or do you have to jump through some hoops to have a quality product? How does that work?
Well, just to be a part of the process, you just have to join Meetup. I mean, you can join Meetup and follow our different coffee talks and coffee meetups and just become a part of the process through that.
Okay.
As far as actually coming and viewing the space, we're open 11 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday.
Okay.
So don't ever hesitate to come to us at 7th Street between McDowell and Thomas on the
it's
east side of the road.
It's a little road that
on
you got to take
on. The other end
right
of Humble
on.
Pie, and so they'll find us on the other end, and come and check out the space and see if it's a good fit for you, and we can talk about how we can help you in other ways, business-wise, organizational-wise, besides just getting your products out there.
That's great. What a support group. That's pretty cool. So when they opened the Market and Cafe at the Small Matters Institute on 23rd and Dunlap, will every purveyor that you have be part of that?
We're actually hoping to bring everyone plus an additional 225 other vendors. So we're constantly looking
Holy
for vendors
crap.
To fill up that space.
The space is much larger.
It's very,
No, I've seen it. It's gigantic.
Yeah,
225.
So Mariah and I are excited to go to the farmers markets, and I'm going to be trolling for people.
Yeah, trolling. What's the bait going to be?
we're excited.
Sell your product.
Yeah,
we'll
sell your product
for you.
Okay, that's pretty neat. So, and you're going to be part of that market and cafe, and you already actually are, Frank.
Yeah, I'm actually working to put the inside, all the working parts of it together.
Okay, so you're designing kitchen and all that.
Right, kitchen design's done. We have a coffee and juice bar. Then there'll be an area for cooked to order food.
Okay,
sandwiches.
So
fast
casual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not so much eat-in, dining, anything like that. Everything's going to be really to go. The space is going to be used for just sitting around, lounging, you know, neighborhood meet-up place.
If you think about all the little businesses that are in that area, and there's no place to eat.
And the colleges and universities.
Yeah, there's about 50,000 office workers in that, just in that area. So, and there's only three or two different places to eat around there. So,
geez, you could just walk around with a tray of chocolate and say, yeah. You know, that'd be your bait. It's like a Peter Piper kind of a thing. You know, the Pied Peter Piper. The Pied Piper, follow me.
We have the light rail. We have the light rail too, just right down from us, which is so amazing that we have a light rail stop that close.
That's fantastic.
And then the CCAP students are going to be able to flow over into the cafe.
Sure. Sure. So there's yet another benefit for these kids to be part of this program. And you, I mean, and then you having mentorship, and I'm sure you'll be there too, Louie.
Yep,
providing mentorship. They just get the best of all worlds. You know, the only one thing that I just wanted to throw out, just in case this ever comes across anybody's path, is transportation for the kids. That's one of their biggest hurdles.
Well, and that's the light rail. Like I said, the light rail is right there. You can walk from the light rail station down to us.
Okay, Louie.
Also, if any chefs, restaurateurs, some of the major restaurant groups like Fox Restaurant Concepts and P.F. Chang's, if you want to get involved, give me a call. We really think it will benefit our industry as a whole to have institutional support, local Arizona institutional support. It would be just tremendous and fantastic, giving back to the community.
Come on, you guys. Come and play with us. You know who you are. So we have about 2 minutes. So, ladies, I just kind of want to hand it over to you and just go ahead and tell people what you're about, how to get involved, what your goals are, anything that just, you know, turns you on.
All right. Well, if you have basically what we want is to bring all of the local food entrepreneurs into the store to kind of come together and support local. So if you're a food entrepreneur and you have a product that you want to get out there, come to us. We're on 7th Street and Sheridan in between McDowell and Thomas. And we're right next to Mama Toledo's Pie Hole and Humble Pie.
I love that. I got to meet that girl.
Bible
and
Baptist Church.
You know,
Church.
Ask for Tracy or Mariah, and we can help you get involved.
I think it would be really cool to, like, develop a program to get sponsorship for, like, one or two of your purveyors to go to the fancy food show. Oh, okay. Would that be fun? Because, you know, if we could, it would probably be like maybe $3,000 or $4,000 for them to open up a booth at the Fancy Food Show. A lot of people get discovered there. It's pretty neat. Emily and I have been.
And if you need someone to carry your things, set up posters, anything, I'm free to do that.
At the Fancy Food Show?
For the Fancy Food Show only. Anything else. And if it's over 90 degrees, I'm not going to be there.
Thanks for your support, Emily. We really appreciate that.
That's a great idea. I'd never heard of that one before.
The Fancy Food Show?
Yeah.
It's in San Francisco and Washington. San Francisco's in January and Washington's in the summer.
Great.
Washington, D.C. Yeah.
You know, I think that Jason Wasser actually was there last year.
Yeah.
I remember him being
everyone
at the
who wants to get into the industry is the goes to the Fancy Food Show.
We went there when we were first starting in like 2009 with Into the Soup and met people and said, let me tell your story. And that's how we started off, was representing these small products, whether they were from California or Vermont. It was just like, you know, let us tell your story and get you out there and support local.
And we met, remember Jason's Nut Butter or whatever? before it hit the shelf. Or what's his name? Justin's. A.K.A. Jason.
And bacon-flavored chapstick.
Yeah. We met them before they were a big
chapstick.
Deal.
This guy bacon-flavored everything. It was a trip.
Bacon-flavored popcorn.
Uh-huh.
It was good.
Probably cocktails, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
Interesting thing is I've seen salmon vodka.
Oh, well, duh. Do we need to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Louis Chaban. We appreciate your support. You're very passionate about it, and that's really cool. And the Mariah and Tracy of AFG, thanks for hosting and letting us be here today. And we got lots of yummy snacks. Oh, Nutsack?
Yeah, Bill Sutherland's Nutsack.
Nutsack, love it. Hey, Shanna, tell your mom I said hello. They'll get it. It's a little personal joke. Chef Frank Caputo, it was lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
I don't think we'd actually met before. We talked on the phone and that kind of stuff.
7 years ago, we talked on the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. This is like the fourth show in a row. Everybody's like, where have you been for 7 years? I became a monk in India. we're very happy to be back. And we've had a great welcome from the community. And so we really appreciate that. Emily?
I'm back.
Okay.
Grab a mic.
All right. And
it was a blast, as always.
Isn't it fun?
Mm-hmm.
So next week, don't forget May 17th. And we are doing a show with, I believe, Jennifer Russo.
Cool.
Yeah. So that'll be on our next Saturday on the 21st.
Yep.
And anyway, that was great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I love what I do, supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week.